Live from the Journeys Group Studio, this is Taking Care of Business.
Good afternoon. This is Tommy Pate.
And this is George Pate.
Taking Care of Business. Today is Wednesday the 13th. I was going to say 12th. Wednesday the 13th. Beautiful day. Yesterday was absolutely drop dead gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
I did. Well, I won't say I played golf yesterday. I hacked around the course and boosted the stock of Titleist by losing numerous and savory golf balls, sundry golf balls. I see in the news that Joe Biden has won enough delegates now that he is the presumptive Democratic nominee. And Trump has won enough delegates. He's the presumptive Republican nominee. So, as you have said before, we've boiled it down to a senile old man. And then
another old man.
And then another old man. That's what a great country
that
to
is,
live in.
I mean, that's that is the best that we've got on both sides of the coin is two old men that may or may not be fit.
And I understand people's disdain for Trump. I mean, I think he was a good president, but I understand their disdain for him. But how in the world can you vote for somebody that is so significantly cognitively, I can't use that word, maybe I am too, cognitively impaired as that's Biden just amazes me.
Didn't they just determine that he was not fit to testify?
No. What they said was,
I thought there was some ruling that came down recently that said that.
No. They didn't want to embarrass him. He could testify, but they didn't want to embarrass him, so they didn't ask him to. Remember that.
Since when is the embarrassment of somebody that broke the law? Never mind.
So who, where does a prosecutor come from? Department of Justice.
Yeah. And who does the Department of Justice answer to?
Yep. There we go. Anyway, let's not get off onto that. This is a pretty time of year and there's no reason to, I forgot what I was going to say.
Sully it. I did see it's interesting. This is the first time that there has been a rematch for the presidential seat, I think it was like 1950 or something. In like almost 75 years, there's not been a presidential rematch like this.
Well, in my opinion, which is worth 2 cents, a cup of coffee, maybe. Well, probably just 2 cents. it's going to come down to if enough people decide that they can vote for Trump over having a demented old man in the White House.
If people can put aside their fragile little feelings.
And that's yet to be determined. It would not surprise me if Biden won another term.
No, it would not me either, because people are just bound and determined that their precious little feelings are going to dictate everyone else's lives, and they would rather have their wallet continue to be hurt and things continue to get worse, then put those precious little feelings aside and vote for the candidate that whose policies make the most economic sense.
Well, but they don't do that. They vote on, if you think, of course, politics is a recipe of hypocrisy on a good day. In this case, you have the Democratic Party that voted to find Bill Clinton not guilty of lying under oath about having an affair in the White House. And these same people that said that's his personal life, it has nothing to do with him being president. They have a hard time with Trump having the same implications against him. It's just amazing how quick it turns.
Well, and the problem, I told somebody this recently, the problem is that the two parties are playing by two different sets of rules. The Republicans are playing by the old set, the old rules, and which is why they lose, and the Democratic Party is playing by the new rules.
Well, when you own the media like the Democratic Party does, it's kind of hard not to,
Oh, sure. I mean, I don't really know how much people watch, or people really pay attention to the media anymore. Yes, they do own it, but I would love to see some data on how much people are actually watching the media anymore and paying attention to it. Cause I think everybody knows that it's such a joke anyway. And so I have to wonder how much impact have they lost over the last however many years. I'd be curious to know. So
I don't know. All right, let's get to the show. My name is Tommy Pate. I'm a certified financial planner with the Journeys Group.
And I'm George Pate. I'm also a certified financial planner with the Journeys Group.
We are an independent registered investment advisory firm in Aiden. Our phone number is 252-304-1019. 252-304-1019. You can find us on the web at www.thejourneysgroup.com. Again, www.thejourneysgroup.com. Our website has a variety of articles that rotate through on it. It has our contact information if you want to get a an appointment with us, our schedule. It has links to Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. Has upcoming events. I think the next one is April the 29th is the first inaugural Journeys Group Golf Tournament. And then last but not least, it has the links to the podcast, Taking Care of Business, which you're listening to right now. So if you miss an episode of this magnificent show and want to hear it, go to the webpage and it'll direct you to 19 different podcast platforms. I think I've covered everything, haven't I?
I believe so. Well done.
Today, we are going to interview George. He had no idea this was coming. None whatsoever.
When do I ever have any idea what's coming on this show?
That's
you
a good point.
You think I planned for this? You think anything that comes out of my mouth is planned?
No, George has been with us about 5.5 years now.
Almost 6 years.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know, George is a CFP, which is extremely difficult professional designation to get, but he's got it. George came to us with a degree in biology with an emphasis in neuroscience and a minor in chemistry. To say that he knew anything about business or financial planning would be an extreme over-exaggeration.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I graduated, and finance just seemed to be the logical next step with a degree like that. Yeah. So, you know, here we are.
So here's our first question. What is totally different about financial planning that you know now than you did before you started it? Before you came with us, what is not at all like you thought it would be?
I think the biggest thing, and you and I have talked about
it. And
I'm
opening a drink.
Okay. You're afraid of what I'm going to say. No, I think the biggest thing about financial planning when it comes to working with people is that the dollars and cents when it comes to financial planning is secondary when it comes to financial planning for individuals. It is a secondary issue. The primary issue is the person itself. And I say issue is the primary challenge, I guess, is the individual person, is developing a plan, learning to read people, because people say a lot without saying anything, developing a plan that fits somebody's personality, fits their tolerance. You know, you need to be able to make sure that you have a decent understanding of somebody so that you're not going to make a recommendation that they're just going to be vehemently against. So I think that was probably the biggest surprise was that in all of my studies and learning, the numbers were a very small portion of it, which is kind of ironic considering what we do with numbers. But anybody can make the dollars and cents work. Anybody can. I mean, you can learn how to do that. That's not that hard. What is difficult is making it work for the individual person. So I think that's probably the biggest, that was the biggest shocker to me.
So your impression was you come in, people give us money, we make it grow, and that's it.
That's exactly right. Growing up, if when people asked what you did, I said, yeah, he works with people's money. And they said, well, what does he do? I said, well, he takes money and makes more money off of it. I mean, that was my impression of what you did when I was growing up.
Having come to the Journeys Group as a complete novice. Now, I looked at you 5.5 years later, and you're a great financial planner. You already had the people skills because you got that from my dad. So obviously you had to learn how to the mechanics of investing money and that sort of thing. How has that evolved over the 5.5 years? How do you handle things differently now than you did when you first started?
Well, when I first started, I didn't know anything. I mean, that because I had taken one economics course in college, in my entire life. So I had no basis of knowledge. And there were several classes that I had to take to get licensed, just to be able to do the actual job. And they taught me bare minimum. They taught me how to talk the talk and to read something and understand it. You know, when they taught me to understand life insurance. They taught me to understand securities. This is a job that, and again, this was something that was a little bit surprising. This is a job that you learn by doing and watching somebody do. I mean, for the first 18 months, I barely spoke in meetings because I just watched you do it. And so that's where the learning really, really happened. And so, again, I think I was surprised at how on the job the learning was. You know, I expected a lot of it to be very practical, but not, I mean, I would say probably 95% of learning to do this job is on the job. You can't, there's no book that'll teach you how to do financial planning. And I will say CFP was probably the biggest jump in my knowledge that I've had, because again, the licensing courses are fine because I have to have them. But they didn't teach me hardly anything really, but CFP
was CFP.
CFP is Certified Financial Planner. It's one of the highest designations you can have in this industry. There are 7 graduate level exams that you have to pass, ranging from a variety of topics, from insurance to income tax to estate planning and on and on and on. That was the biggest jump in my knowledge, was having to go through those classes, because it forced me to become the most well-rounded planner that I could. I'm not a CPA. All right. Never planning on being a CPA, but I know about income tax and I can advise people on income tax and I can speak knowledgeably about income tax. You know, I can talk to a CPA, and I'm not going to say I can hold my own with a CPA, but I can at least have, intelligent questions and comments to make to them. All right. Estate planning. I'm not an estate planning lawyer. I'm not ever planning on being an estate planning lawyer. You couldn't pay me enough to do it. But again, I have the knowledge now because of CFP, because of listening to you talk to people, that I have the knowledge to be able to talk on a wide variety of subjects with people. You know, people will say, "Oh, do y'all do taxes?" And I'll say, "No, but I can talk about it to you." And so a lot of the, most of the education came from just watching you do it. And doing it myself too, you know, when you finally, I don't want to say, I'm air quoting now, turn me loose. But when I finally started sitting with people, the first couple of meetings, or the first lots of meetings were pretty, I'm sure I was pretty stiff, because I was trying to find my way and find my own style of doing it. And now it's like, it's just second nature. We had a girl that's about to graduate high school, a daughter of a client of ours, that sat in with me yesterday on a meeting, and because she's interested in maybe doing what we're doing, and we got done with the meeting, and client walked out, and I said, "So what questions do you have?" And she said I didn't really have a concept of what y'all do, but she said she was like you just did that. And I said, "Yeah, but I've done this hundreds of times, and I have made mistakes and screwed up hundreds of times as well." And so it's as much on the job learning as it is in the book learning. I don't know if that really answered your question. I was just kind of rambling.
No, it's just,
a while.
It's funny watching you grow in the business. Is, George said, teaching somebody the mechanics is easy. We've said this before. There's a huge difference between a financial advisor / stockbroker and a financial planner. You can be taught the mechanics in 5 minutes of how to buy stock for somebody, how to some life insurance, that sort of thing. The difference in our job is ascertaining after interviewing the person what they need, and sometimes convincing them that that's what they need.
Yeah, a lot of times people don't know what they need, and I mean, anytime you're working with people on anything, it's tricky, because you're dealing with personalities, and sometimes personalities can be difficult to work with, and a lot of times people, like you just said, people think they need one thing, but in reality, what they need isn't going to work. So we have to show them, no, this is really what you need.
All right, you've again been here 5.5 years. I'm ostensibly on my way out over a period of time. I'm 64, almost a half now. So. What do you see the future of the Journeys Group?
That's a great question. And it's something that I have thought a lot about. one of the challenges that we have with the firm, the way that you've built it up and the way that we continue to maintain it, is we're very personalized. We spend a lot of time with our clients, which sounds like a no-brainer, but that's not necessarily the standard in the industry, right? If a professional business auditor, somebody that audits offices to see how efficiently they're running, were to audit our office, they would probably say on paper we're woefully inefficient, because we, in their eyes, you should have 8 meetings a day, 1 hour. All right. So the challenge that I've got with growing the business, because the goal is to grow the business, but the challenge is, how do we grow the business but maintain that personalized touch to it? And so I think at some point we will reach a point where we'll have hit maximum capacity, and then we'll start hiring new planners, you know, which is, again, going to be a tricky thing, because you got to find people that have the same philosophy as you. One of the things that I've kind of weighed back and forth, and you and I have talked about this extensively, is if we get so big, you know, and good Lord blesses us and we continue to grow, at some point I may have to transition away from a financial planner and become a business owner, you know, become a CEO. And I don't necessarily know that that's the route that I want to go, because I like the planning aspect of it. But, right now the goal is, okay, I want to continue to grow this thing to the point where we have to hire more people. Cause I think that'd be a really cool problem to have. I'd like to see us have offices in other cities. Right now we've got our main office in Aden, and then we've got a satellite office in Edenton. Really just, it's not staffed, just that we use to meet people with. And so I'd like to see us have several offices in several different cities that are fully staffed, that, you know, that's kind of the vision that I have, short to midterm. And then long-term growth, it's just so hard to say, because who knows what the future of financial planning is going to look like.
Now, that was my next question too, is, you know, with the changes we've had in the last 10 years, I can tell you that, well, he and I have joked about when I first came into practice, which was 40 years ago, the stock market, like the S&P 500 was like, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was like,
what, 1,000 or something?
It wasn't even that. It was like 500 and something, you know.
Well, it's like yesterday or the day before, the market was up 300 points. Would have been 60% of the Dow back in the day.
But, you know, when I came into practice, we didn't have computers. There was not a Lincoln. Yes, George is over here simulating beating on a stone. Yeah, we use an abacus. Yeah. One of the biggest differences is that people didn't react to the market as quickly because they didn't know. If we had a bad day in the stock market, most people didn't know it till the next morning when they picked up their newspaper. Nowadays, if you have a bad day in the stock market, you know it's a bad day before the market knows it's a bad day.
Yeah, I mean, if you get up at 5 in the morning and start reading the news, it's already there.
Yeah. But here's what I find really interesting. This is something you have to figure out. Maybe you already have. The basic tenets, the basic fundamentals are the same now as they were 40 years ago. Your portfolio should be well-diversified, duh. You should spend as little money as possible investing money in terms of fees and whatnot. And you should have a budget and you should have a plan. None of that's changed. The only difference between what we do now is that the worksheets that we have, I designed, but based on 20 different worksheets I've seen over the years, and I kind of stole a little bit here, stole a little bit there. But it's the same stuff. Nothing's changed. So you're 28, so theoretically you got another 30 years to go. How does it stay fresh for you?
How does it stay fresh?
Yeah.
It stays fresh because you never know what's going to walk in the door. It's pretty hard for this job to get stale. You've been doing it 40 years.
No, I was agreeing.
I thought the look on your face was, oh, just wait.
No, my look on my face was, boy, you ain't kidding.
Well, it's so hard for something like this to become stale, because you never know who's going to walk in the door. You never know, the phone rings. You never know what problem somebody's going to present to you.
We can give you two extremes, folks. We had a individual that came in several years ago that he and his wife had a combined like $5 million in the stock market, and they were in their 60s, and he wanted to be as aggressive as he possibly could make it. He did everything wrong according to the book. All right. Contrast that with somebody that came in that was a lady that had graduated from high school, gone to work for one company and had never worked anywhere else, was ready to retire, had no concept what she had, and she had almost $3 million between her pension and profit share, 401k and profit sharing plan. So you see both extremes. You see people come in tremendously wealthy and you wonder how they did it. And then you see the people come in that have absolutely played by the rules and have become wealthy. And then you have maybe a third of the people that come in that have decided at early to mid-50s, it's time to finally decide they're going to retire one day. And these are the ones that are probably the most difficult to work with, because these are the ones that you have to say, you know, you can't afford to be a member of the country club. You can't afford to do that. Well, yes, I can. I've been doing it all my life, but you have nothing in retirement. So, and that's what makes the job interesting to me, is you never know when somebody comes in the door and you meet them for the first time, who they're going to be. If you're interested in talking with us, particularly with the young stallion over here, give us a call at 252-304-1019. 252-304-1019. All right, tough question for you now.
Okay.
Now, the day I leave, what's the first changes you'll make? Okay, you scrubbed my name off the door. Other than that, changing all, getting a little letterhead.
I don't know. I really don't know, because it's not something that I've thought about. I know that at some point it's going to happen, but I don't sit around and actively think, oh, I can't wait till he's out so I can start making all these changes. It's not really.
I'm trying to give you leeway.
That's what I was going to say. Is the nice thing is that the way that we operate together, I can make changes right now if I think it's a good idea. I don't have to wait until you're gone to start making all these changes, you know, because you're not this overruling dictator that says, nope, we're not doing that. You know, I bring it to you and. If I think it's a good idea and it's not going to absolutely bankrupt the company. No, I'm serious. If it's not going to hurt the company, you say, yeah, let's try it. I've had several ideas that we tried that didn't work out. I mean, that's
never happened to me.
Yeah, but that's just that. That's what happens. You try stuff. Stuff doesn't work out. Sometimes it does. You hope that it works out more than it doesn't. And so I don't know that I don't really know what the first thing I'm going to do when you're gone is, because we're doing that already. You know, we've made several changes over the last several years.
I think
while you're still here,
I think the most surprised George has been, we're in the process of building offices finally, although right now the rain has just stopped everything. Yeah. But anyway, and we were going over the floor plan and I said, you go ahead and take the main office. And he was like, what? I said, yeah, do you take the main office? Well, that's your office. No, that's your office. Cause obviously he'll be here longer than I will be. So, yeah.
Yeah. You said I'm planning on being there a heck of a lot less than you are. So you take the big one.
Indeed. Well, I can tell you, watching you grow and coming into the bit, like him coming into the business was a complete surprise to me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Well, both of us got, when I was in college, this is not something I ever thought I'd do for a living either. But it's been a joy watching you grow. One of the coolest things to me as a father is when I hear you use one of my phrases, but you put your George spin on it. It's not exactly my phrase anymore.
Yeah.
You've kind of, and that's really cool. That's kind of that's a great way of, you're not doing it to honor me, but that's a great way to honor me.
I tell you one of the cool things, and this is a little bit of an ego thing for me. When I first started and we were going to all these meetings, everybody knew me as Tommy Pate's son. And now they know me as George Pate. They know me as my own individual person. Not that I was ever like, oh, I'm hiding under his shadow, but they just didn't know who I am. And now when I go to these meetings, they're like, oh, hey, George. And that's kind of a cool thing to have, I don't want to say made my mark, because I certainly haven't done that, but to be my own
You established your own identity.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a financial planner in your own right.
Yeah, I remember about probably 5 years ago, I was at a meeting in Charlotte, and I was out to dinner with everybody one night, and this woman came up to me, and I have no clue who she is. I mean, still don't know who she is. She didn't introduce herself, and she walked over, and she tapped me on the shoulder, and she said, "You've got to be Tommy Pate's son." And I was like, "I don't know. Are you going to hit me if I say yes?" So I did this. "He owe you money?" And she said, "No, you look just like him, and I knew you were here. I was looking for you." And then walked away, and I was kind of like, okay. But anyway, that's kind of a neat transition as well.
Yeah, it's kind of one of the things I've had to struggle with a little bit is that, yeah, because I've got a big ego too, is that our carriers now call and would rather speak with George than with me because they know he's the future. But yeah, it is what it is. That's the way it's supposed to be. Coming to the end, I just thought it'd be kind of neat today to hear from George, the heir apparent, and what are some things he's learned, different, new surprises, that kind of thing. Again, you want to talk to us, 252-304-1019. All right, hear the music in the air, so it's time to get out of here. We appreciate y'all letting us ride home from work with you today. Hope you have a great afternoon. Look forward to visiting with you next week. This is Tommy Pate.
And this is George Pate.
Taking care of business.
The proceeding has been a paid program. The advice and opinions expressed by the Journeys Group and their guests are their own and may not reflect the opinions and advice of WTIB or Interbanks Media. All statements and opinions expressed are based upon information considered reliable, although should not be relied as such. Any statements or opinions are subject to change without notice. Investments involve risk and unless otherwise stated are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results. Fixed annuities are insurance products. Fixed annuities, rates, returns, and guarantees are subject to the claim paying ability to the underlying insurance company. Please see a statement of understanding and prospectus for a full detail on products discussed. Strategies mentioned may not be suitable for everyone. Information expressed does not take into account your specific situation and as such is not intended to be a direct recommendation. Before acting on any information mentioned, you should seek the advice from a qualified tax or investment advisor to determine whether it is suitable for your specific situation. Investment advising services are offered through the Journeys Group, an SEC registered investment advisor.